All right, turn in your Bibles to Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. Or go to your screen to Psalm 100. Thanks, youth. Thanks, Wes. Psalm 103. Great psalm. We're going to start at verse 1 and go to verse 2 before I get into my message this morning. And this is like a bit of an opener. Who's enjoying your best life series so far? Who's got some help from the finance that we've been talking about last couple of weeks? And I'd encourage you, if you've been away, to go online. You can download those and watch them while you're running on the treadmill at the gym like you all do, because you love to be fit. Okay. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Come on, does anyone think that's a good way to start a psalm? Yeah. This is David talking. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his? I need to tell you today that there are benefits for following Christ. I need to tell you today that when you join the kingdom of God, that came out wrong, the kingdom of God, it comes with benefits. Our relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord of our life has benefits for our financial world and benefits which David mentions in this psalm, which will help us have our very best life. Before we get into these individual benefits, let me describe a benefit to you. The definition of a benefit. It's a good thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, a benefit's a good thing. It's a good thing. It is a personal blessing. You see, the best way I can illustrate this is with my own children, who are now adults but still living at home. You're already laughing and I haven't even got to my point. My children benefit greatly from still living at home. My wife and I thought that it was actually, because they've been away for nearly 4 weeks, I think it is, that the food bill hasn't even just halved, it's a third. And I already know that the water bill is going to decrease by at least two-thirds. And it goes on. They eat my food. They drink my drinks. They use my power. They invite their friends over and use my facilities. This is tongue-in-cheek, obviously. I'm happy for their friends to come over. They are on a good thing. They are personally blessed by loving parents. Andrea buys them treats, which she thinks I don't know about. In the same way, God has benefits for his children, which, like my kids, we can never pay for, they can never pay for, we can never pay for. But all the same, they are there for us to partake of. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It goes on in Psalm 103 and verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. David gives us five benefits. The first one, which we'll talk about this morning, is forgiveness. The second benefit is that he heals. I'm going to talk about that next week. He redeems us. which Pastor Andrew is going to talk about in a couple of weeks' time. He crowns us. He satisfies us. David is speaking to his mind, body, and soul. He is saying to himself, I need to bless the Lord. Who knows that we need to remind ourselves to bless the Lord of all the benefits that he gives us? Praise the Lord is another version. Oh, my soul, praise God for all that he does for me. When we receive Christ, there are benefits for our best life. And we need to have David attitudes and thank the Lord and remind our soul of the benefits of knowing God. And so the title of my message this morning is Forgiven. We receive divine forgiveness when we come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. The kind of forgiveness the Bible is referring to is only possible with God. It is not possible without him. No human can do what Christ has done for us on the cross. We cannot forgive others. Only Christ can give us the ability to forgive like he does. And I've got an illustration I'm going to show you later on in today. Without Jesus, it's impossible to have this spirit on our lives. God bless that child in Jesus' name. There are three things we're going to look at today in respect to forgiveness. And they all start with the letter R. Psalm 103, verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I'm using the old terminology on purpose this morning, so bear with me. Transgressions and iniquity are both sin. Iniquity is an inward motivation. Transgression is an outward manifestation. The definition of the word transgress is to trespass. Who's ever, when you were smaller, I remember myself, there was this house that said no trespassing. So as a kid, what do? And then a man with a gun came out. It was back in the old Wild West days in Balcatta, where Charlie used to live. That wasn't an inference that it was Charlie being a bad boy. It was just... See, iniquity is the eternal workings of our heart. Transgression is our hand. Iniquity is an attitude. It's inside. Transgression is the action. Let me illustrate this. A girl walks past a building site and she is likely to be wolf whistled. No sin has been committed yet. It's okay to admire, but it depends on what happens next. Do the men then start to undress her and talk about it in their minds? What's happened? It's gone to iniquity. It's what comes, it comes out of the heart. And this is why Jesus says anyone who looks at a woman with lust in his eye has already committed adultery. Jesus said, Matthew 5:22, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you are angry with someone, you are subject to judgment. What Jesus is saying is that if you hate someone, it's the same as murder. The best definition I can give you for iniquity is inequity. Inequity. The house may be worth $500,000, but your equity is $100,000. When we are not equitable, we are not on the same level as God. We are not equal with God's holiness. Before we come to Christ, we are inequitable before God. We may be a good person, but because we haven't made right with God, we are still inequitable before God. We must determine in our hearts that we need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a relationship with Him. Otherwise, we will remain inequitable. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, I'm trying a new little clicker. Oh, you've already got it there. You've beaten me to it. He has removed our transgressions outside. He has bruised for our iniquities inside. A bruise is inward bleeding. So Jesus has removed our iniquities and our transgressions. How far does the Bible say He has removed our transgressions? As far as the... Let's put that big slide up. As far as the... As far as the, as far as the, I want you to get this morning. We seem to think, though, don't we, that He does remember stuff. Am I the only one that thinks that He does remember stuff from time to time? But God is actually speaking linearly. As far as the east is from the west is infinite. He has removed, completely done away with our transgressions. And I think we have this idea in our heads that there's this like this personal computer system up in heaven. And because we struggle, don't we, with certain sins in our lives. And when we've sinned, there's kind of like, oh, I wonder if God really has forgiven me. Let me just, and there's Jesus up there in heaven, He just pulls up your, let me pull up your details. Charlie Ricardo. Oh, yes, you sinned a couple of times there on the same issue. And then, oh, let me just pull up 2009. 67 times the same year. And we get this idea, we can get this idea in our head that He holds on to things, and it's actually not biblically so. God actually chooses not to remember. Turn to your neighbor and say, He doesn't remember. God deleted your personal wrongdoings. He deleted the storage, the Dropbox, the entire cloud, gone. As far as the east is from the west, gone. Who thinks that's a benefit? Come on. Millard Erickson, I've pulled out my old theological book from master's days. He says this, our adoption means that there is continued forgiveness. Who thinks that's pretty special? If God were only our judge, our past sins would all be forgiven, but we would have no assurance of forgiveness of future wrongs. And just like my own children receive benefits for living at home with me, lots of benefits, even if they behave badly, so too we benefit from a kind, tender-hearted Father who delights in forgiving us. He is not to be feared, but trusted. He is not to be what? But. In Romans 5:1 in the New Living Translation, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done. It's the only way God can have relationship with us. A holy God dealt with our sin. He removes our transgressions. Secondly, he remembers no more. This is back to the PowerPoints, thanks. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Isaiah 43:25 says that. It is an interesting in that I will not remember your sins, the Lord is saying. I will not. I choose not to remember your sins. When the paralytic was lowered through the roof by his friends to be healed by Jesus, or that was their prayer, something really interesting happened first. Before the actual healing took place, and I believe he did this on purpose to show the scribes exactly who he was, Jesus said, before the healing happened, my son, your sins are forgiven. My son, your sins are forgiven. And the scribes said, who can forgive sins but God alone? Are you getting this? Did that sink in? Jesus chose not to clarify the situation, but rather he said, this which I find highly instructive, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? We take on stuff that's actually been removed. Jesus forgives sins. He is God. He is holy. He is the final authority. So why are you thinking that he hasn't forgiven you? Satan will do his best to get you to remember all your sins and misgivings. But Jesus chooses to remember not. And that's why David is able to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Why don't we say it together? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Here's a true story that I managed to find, which I found quite remarkable. Gary Leon Ridgway is better known as the infamous Green River Killer. In 2003, he confessed to the murders of 48 women. In 2011, Ridgway was convicted of the murder of Rebecca Marrero, bringing the victim count up to 49. By his own confession, he may have murdered as many as 60 women. Ridgway especially despised prostitutes and targeted them for his killings. At Ridgway's 2003 sentencing, the families of the victims had the opportunity to speak out and address Ridgway directly. Understandably, many were angry and lashed out at Ridgway for the unimaginable grief he had put them through. As Ridgway stonily listened to the family members express their grief and their anger, one person came up and said something unexpected. When the time came for Robert Rule, the father of teenage victim Linda Jane Rule, to speak, Ridgway finally showed a glimpse of remorse. Rule's words to Ridgway were, Mr. Ridgway, there are people here that hate you. I'm not one of them. You've made it difficult to live up to what I believe, and that is what God says to do, and that's to forgive. You are forgiven, sir. These words brought Ridgway to tears. What I liked about this article was that the Father Robert Rule spelled it out. I have chosen not to hate you and I forgive you. Only Jesus can take away that much pain and sorrow to bring you to a place of forgiveness. Both inwardly. How could you stand and listen, hear all that and still in your heart not hold stuff? So inwardly, iniquity, and outwardly, transgression. The Father, Robert Rule, did not say he wouldn't remember. And the truth is this, only Jesus can choose not to remember our transgressions. God is omniscient. Is that right? He's all-knowing. And so what is amazing about our Lord is that although he has knowledge of all wrongdoings, he has chosen not to bring them up again. He removes our transgressions. He remembers not. And lastly, he releases us from our iniquities. Forgive means release. Released from a debt. Someone paid for it and released you. Jesus paid for it. He can't charge you twice for the same sin. God charged his son. Iniquity is an inward bent we have towards sin. I know I've got it. Anyone else out there? We all have it. And the devil convinces us we're always going to have weaknesses. Is that right? And Scripture says, who knows that the Word of God is our final authority? Scripture says that in Christ, you and I are released. Whether it be lust, anger, lying, we're released. All I have said today does not mean that as Christians we can do as we please. And I really felt that this was necessary because it makes it think that we're forgiven and we can do what we like. Because we feel something doesn't mean we should follow through on it, does it? Who's glad they haven't followed through on some of their feelings? You know, one of the reasons I am mostly against fly in, fly out workers is because of the damage it does to family, if the family doesn't go. Especially if you're married. I'm talking about marriages here. See, God desires us to bring things out into the open so that we see them for what we really are and repent, turn around from those things. Who knows, there's a lot of pressure in our world and we have to look out. The money is insignificant compared to what we could lose. Who here, having been released from a debt, would want to take it back again? Anyone? You've been released from $600,000 in debt. And then the next day you say, oh, I like that debt too much, I'll have it back. No one in their right mind would do that. We should not continually and knowingly live with sin in our lives. Why? We cannot glorify God whilst we're living with iniquity in our heart. Why? We are unable to be a blessing to others whilst we are inequitable. Our actions show that what Christ has done means very little. We are grateful for what he has done on the cross. Who's grateful today for what he's done on the cross? And our goal is to become more like Jesus. Alternatively, our transgressions draw us away from God. That's the truth. That's the Bible. And so the Apostle Paul says it so well. We are dead to sin and alive to God. Say it with me. We are dead to sin and alive to God. Romans 6, 1 and 2. Let's pop this up on the... Thanks, Conrad. Great job. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? John 20, 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Now, this is Jesus talking to the disciples. It's about the time of the great commission. He's about to, he's to go to heaven. And in the context of this passage, 40 days after the resurrection, and Jesus is saying, tell the people they can be forgiven. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can be forgiven. Jesus was saying, tell them they are released. If you believe the Bible and you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, thanks, Brem, then you are released from your sins. Did you hear me, church? If you believe in the Bible and you believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are released from your sins. It's good news. Don't take on the dead again, because otherwise you're going to be in the bad news situation. Let's have good news. Let's live for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's uplift his name, glorify his name, and do those things and get around those people that are going to have our best life together. If you do not believe, your sins are retained. Bless the Lord. Who knows, David had a few iniquity issues. Don't you find this psalm quite incredible in that respect? Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all our iniquities. Eternal forgiveness is ours. He removes, it's the last PowerPoint, he removes our transgressions. He chooses not to remember, he releases all our iniquities. Why don't we stand to our feet for a moment? Thank you, Lord. Put our hands out to God. Lord, I thank you that we are eternally forgiven. Maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus as Lord of your life. Or you're here this morning and you've backslidden. You have allowed those iniquities to rule in your life. Today's your day to return to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's by faith. That means you have to do something. That means today, church, whoever we are, that we need to stay accountable with our Lord and with others. But it also means, the Bible is clear on this, that if we believe and confess, and I want to give opportunity for people to confess today, maybe you don't know the Lord. You've never received him as Lord of your life. Maybe today you're away from him as I've described. But today it's your day. Maybe you're unsure, you're fearful whether you're going to heaven. Perfect love casts out fear. It comes in believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No longer do you need to be afraid. And so today, if you're in one of those categories, I'd love to pray with you in a moment. We're going to pray this prayer together right now. Please repeat it after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you love me. I thank you have paid the debt. I am released. You're not going to remember. You choose not to remember. I give my heart afresh to you today, Lord Jesus. I desire to follow your leadership. Come into my heart right now. I accept you. I receive you. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and eye closed, if you want to receive Jesus as Lord of your life for the first time, you want to come back to him today, or you're fearful that you're not going to make it to heaven, I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand and I'll see it and you can pop it down again. Don't miss this opportunity. He wants to release you. It's a benefit of knowing Jesus. On the count of three, you want to receive Jesus as Lord of your life. You want to come back to him. You're not sure you're going to heaven. Be sure today. Pop up your hand. I'll see it. One, two, three. Thank you, God. Anyone this morning just looking around this auditorium? Thank you, Jesus. You're an amazing God. Your mercies are new every morning. We thank you, Lord. Come on, why don't we raise our hands? We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. What an incredible God. What an incredible Savior. You've paid the price. We're forgiven. We're released. Thank you, Lord. The people of God said, amen. Amen.